Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better act right. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn, giving them all on, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show, man. It's a pretty good deal. Tickle myself sometimes when I say it because my show ain't see that coming. Anyway, I'm glad it's here. It's such a part of my life now, I don't even know. You know, I mean, it's not that I don't know what I'd do without it. I go do something else, I survive. But I mean, it's such a part of what I do every day that it's pretty good, man. I really, really enjoyed what God has done for me. I really appreciate the fact that I thank him for allowing me and making me smart enough to accept it. Because this whole thing, man, this whole idea behind a better life is totally dependent upon us. It has nothing to do with our outside circumstances. You know, life is 10% what happens. It's 90% what you do about it. I mean, let's go. Life happens. Life just happens, man. You lose a loved one. You get some bad news. You make a mistake. You make a bad decision. You know, this stuff is going to happen. You're going to get betrayed. You're going to get talked about behind your back. You know, things happen. It's life. You're going to feel disappointment. You're going to be let down. You're going to let yourself down. That happens. So let's just say things are going to happen. Well, what are you going to do about it? See, that's the part that sets so many people apart. Or that will determine what the true outcome will be. See, just because something happens, it doesn't make it the outcome. It ends up being the result of something. How you handle it is the result of something. Okay, example, you lose a loved one. Everybody loses loved ones. You're not the only one. Everybody. So now, what do you do about it? How do you handle it? Do you bury yourself under the grief and allow the grief to take over your every thought process, and then the next thing you know, you're grieving for years and years and years, and you never let go and you never move on? Is that what you're going to do? Or do you take the grief? I'm not saying you're not going to be sad for a while. I don't know how long it is for each one of us. Grief, we all handle it differently. But whatever your time frame is, at one point in time, you must say, I do see that. There's nothing I can do about that. I accept it. And then you start creating things that help you deal with it better. You know, my mother's in a better place now. She don't have to suffer no more. My mother's not in any pain now. She don't have the worries of this world on her anymore. And then you take up your cross and you say, okay, now life goes on. Here's what I do. And then I took the loss of my mother and turned it into, I'm going to continue to make her proud, or I'm going to really give her a show now. She upstairs, she got front row seats. I'm going to go and give her a real show now. And I turned it into the motivation for trying to really, really get my life together and be something that she would be proud of. You can handle it any way you want to, but life is 10% of what happens and 90% of what you do about it. So you flunk out of college, right? You fail a course because you made some bad decisions in your studies and all like that, or you never develop good study habits, i.e. me. And then you get there, and I got this letter that came one summer that says, you know, for you not to come back to college because you've been expelled due to grades. My mom got the letter and she read it to me. I didn't say nothing. I went upstairs. I started crying. I was devastated, man. I was going to lose a lot of friends that I had back at Kent, man, that meant a lot to me. And I was devastated. But then right after that first 2-3 days of grieving about it, I said, okay, now that has happened. You've made those mistakes. You bought this on yourself. Okay, now what you going to do about it? Went out to Ford Motor Company, got me a job. Started working. Started feeling something positive about myself. Okay, you flunked out of college. I got that. You made the mistake. But now what I'm going to do about it? I'm going to go get me a job. I'm going to feel better about myself. And I started earning money. I started feeling my way through. I started feeling better. And life is 10% what happens to you, but it's 90% of what you do about it. So now the question still burns in all of us, what you going to do about it? It's what you do about it that determines the outcome. See, sometimes things happen to us that are just catalysts. They're just things, they're pilot lights, they're igniters, they're ignitions, they're trigger points. Some things happen to us to trigger something in us. You know, some bad news, a startling revelation, anything happens. They're like starters. They get your attention. It's a turning point. It's a breakthrough. It's an eye-opener. The light bulb comes on. However you need to fix it in your mind. But things happen with that intent if you look at it the right way. Okay, here's the next part of what I want to tell you. You know, we've been talking about the law of attraction for a few days now, if you've been listening, but if you haven't, it's okay. The law of attraction, there's a book out called The Secret. I recommend it reading for everybody. Now, some parts in there you may not be able to grasp, but it don't make it not true. You know, I look for anything, and if it has biblical references in it and it's based off scriptures and in writings, holy spiritual writings, then it has a good intent. Most self-help books are based on everything that comes from the Bible and the holy writings from scholars and prophets and things like that anyway. There's no new news. There's no new news. You know, a man is as he thinketh. That's the law of attraction. You know, but they admit that when they wrote the book, The Secret. So I've been talking to you about the law of attraction, how it works. You know, your feelings, what you're feeling that day is a signal from the universe to let you know the thoughts that you're transmitting. If you're feeling bad right now, if you're feeling bad, like, okay, I get an emails all the time that say, man, I was having a rough morning, Steve, and then I heard your morning inspiration and I felt better. Well, so do I. And it's because the way you're feeling is the universe feeding back to you what you're thinking. And whenever you're feeling bad, if you just stop and go over your thoughts have been some negative thoughts, so you feel negatively. If you feel good today, if you've been feeling good since you woke up, if you think about your thoughts have been good that day. Your feelings is the thermometer, the barometer, the measuring stick for what you're thinking. So if you want to change how you're feeling, you have to change the way you're thinking. Does that make sense to you? Because it's the absolute truth. Because it all goes back to one scripture, very small, but probably one of the most powerful in there. A man is as he thinketh. If you think good thoughts, you're going to feel good. If you think of ways to be a good person, you're going to be a good person. If you think bad thoughts, you're going to start feeling bad. If you think about being a bad person, how can I rob, crook, break in, stab, steal, hold up, sell, gangbang? Guess what? You become a bad person. I'm telling you, man, this thing is very doable. I want you all to all grab a copy. It's all biblical, but if you're having a tough time reading it, just grab the copy of the book called The Secrets. It'll really, really help you out. I've started rereading it for the third time. That's what's causing me to have some of these different messages this morning. So I hope you understand. Love you. For real.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Welcome to the ride, y'all. This is a wonderful Tuesday morning. Today's show.
Yeah. Yes.
Dedicated.
Today's show dedicated. Mm-hmm. To bullfighters.
Yes.
Don't they live on the line?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Boy.
But to really...
I'm just at a loss for words. No. I like that.
You're right. You're right.
You don't
this
move
show is really dedicated to bull hitters.
Exactly.
Bull hitters. Uh-uh. If there's somebody you know that's always bull hitting, then this is for you. For all you bull hitters out there.
What's up, Carl?
This is for bull hitters. Everybody know one.
Everybody know one.
And this is for every bull hitter you know.
Oh, Brent. Man, I know some.
Yeah, in your family. Every family got one.
I'm talking about, man, you ever met, I mean, you got these friends of yours, mm-hmm, that you know, man, this just really ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Dog, oh, yeah. What? Oh, man, Steve, man, oh, man, I can't believe I just ran up you. Man, guess what I got? Well, I got an idea, man. Woo, this one, man.
If I let you in on nothing, man. Oh.
It's that woo, no, though, isn't
woo,
it?
Woo, yeah. Steve. Man, I probably can't. No, I ain't even going. You know, yeah, what, man?
Yeah. Just go
on. I ain't even going to do that.
I ain't even going to tell you, man.
Man, I mean, woo.
It's that woo.
This hen, man. I got it. Steve, this is such a clean idea. Uh-huh. Man, it's you. We can't, hey, man, how would you like? And I'm just asking you, Steve, because I know you got a little bit. Mm-hmm. But how would you like to make $100 million? I got it.
Man.
Man, it's crazy I ran up into you, man.
Must be God.
Oh, ain't number, man. God. That's what you hear. That's ain't number, uh-huh, God.
Nah, we both was just hungry. That's right. In a restaurant.
I can't stand it.
Hey, Junior. No, we were hungry. That's what the...
Man, this got to be... This ain't nothing but the Lord, uh-huh, right here.
Yeah.
And I'd run up into you.
What about this crew? Do everybody have... How many items do y'all have at home that they said, get this to Steve?
Oh, no. Yeah. You know what? It goes from you to me to the trash.
Yeah.
You to me, oh, right, man, in the trash.
Yeah. What's some of the albums you supposed to be heard by now?
Oh, my God.
Man.
No. If Steve played this right, really, here.
Boy.
Oh, my God. If he played this right here.
Man, I have been given some. I've been given a pool table. Ain't got no holes in it for the balls to go down.
What?
When me and your uncle talk about it, I'll explain. I said, no, it's a pool table with no holes in it.
What am I supposed to do with this?
A pool table with no hope. Chubb, the half Steve come. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sending this to you now.
And I'll explain why there are no holes in the pool table.
From children.
I can't tell you that.
Yeah. And you can get some of it too. Oh, really?
Right. All right. We're coming back with Truth Be Told from Junior. And then First Day of School Rituals. We'll have some of those, woo-hoo, when we come back. Yeah. At 32 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for something funny. Let's go to Junior with his truth be told. Oh, I hope it's another poem, Junior.
No, surely it's not. It's truth be told. Listen, I did do this, though.
What?
Last week, got to it. We were talking about, you know, being ugly.
Uh-huh.
So mm-hmm. I went, called my family up, and just took a poll.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know what they really thought. I called some aunties and some cousins.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And 100% came back up. No, not an all right. That you know, you possibly. No, 100%. But what really hurt my feelings was how fast they said I was ugly. But I just discovered, after they called me ugly, compliments started coming in. You know, you hardworking though. You know, your spirit good.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, it was all this stuff kept coming back. So when I discovered it, truth be told, when you ugly, people really love you for who you are. They not playing. Right. No, they really love you.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You know, I mean, they just kept coming back. They like, yeah, you ugly. But listen, that's not what counts. It's what's on the inside.
Right.
That's right.
Because
you gotta encourage them.
You gotta encourage them. Yeah. This was messing me up. I had never heard this.
What?
My great aunt said, "Yeah, boy, you're ugly. Your dad's ugly, but you come from good stock." What does that mean?
Where the hell that
is? I ain't never heard what that. You come from good stock.
What that
though.
Means is, who told you that? Your grandma.
My great aunt. My grandmother's
well, see,
sister.
What that means is your grandfather's grandfather got sold for a lot. Somebody filed the paper.
That's
we
what that means.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, who knew? Who would know?
Hey, but when you're really ugly, don't feel bad, ugly folk. People really do love you when they say they love you.
The one or two friends I have ain't with me because I look good. They just like you because they know. They know. And I know. I look in the mirror. Every time I look in the mirror, I know.
Ain't no doubt.
Ain't no doubt.
You know, I thought maybe somebody in the family found me cute.
No.
Nobody. Aside,
hey, man, my mother told me. A long time ago, you're not going to be an attractive man. Because we just don't have good-looking men in this family. So always bathe yourself and wear nice clothes.
And that'll work.
And get them girls something else to look at.
Man, that's right.
Because you're not finna walk in the room and nobody go, If they do, they ain't talking about you. They look over the shoulder.
You know what? I've noticed that every time you do hear that, it ain't never you.
It's never.
And you notice how quiet Tommy is? Because Tommy don't like to participate in this conversation. Because Tommy is the one boy in our family think he cute.
I just was shocked.
So how would you, did you ever think about if you were cute? I mean, I'm not saying you're not.
No, I ain't never thought about it.
You know,
we just a dude. You just... Uh-huh. You know,
oh yeah, my life be a whole lot different.
Yeah, if I
was just light skinned, I'd have a different life. Yeah. Really lighter.
Like how though?
Like like Elder Barge? Oh, I don't think I'd be.
No, I could not have Elder Barge hair. Oh, I couldn't have that.
Why, Junior?
What? Why?
What would you do?
No, it always be a hand in it. No, you see Elder Barge? You can't have no hair like that. Ain't nobody in it. I got a cut of hair now. You cut your finger wide open.
I'm with you, man. If I could still braid my hair, dog, I even wouldn't be here, man.
I just don't know if I can handle cute.
No way.
Because I always like who like me. I ain't no two girls I'm finna like at the same time.
So you don't approach people. They approach you.
I'm too ugly to be approached people. I try.
No, when you're ugly, you got to stay back.
You got to.
You got to let them call.
No, listen
to me. You ugly. You can't push up on people.
No.
You got to let them invite you in.
Yeah. Oh, like for example. Yeah.
They got to walk up to you. Oh, you funny.
You got to do like this. How y'all doing?
Just shout it out.
Yeah. Then they say, what you say? Then you move in.
Yeah. Can't do that.
So that's why you have a loud voice.
Yeah.
You can't walk up, when you're ugly.
I don't sit in VIP at the club. Don't never do that. Because there's too much light. See, my ugly behind hang out in corners. I'm over by payphones and bathrooms. That's where I hang out at. Over there where the waitress walk up, get the drinks at. I'm in that spot.
Never in the light.
Never in no light.
I'm in the dark part of the club.
I actually do my comedy show to ask them to turn the house out just a little bit. I don't really want them to see.
So tell me you're not participating in this conversation at all?
I refuse to have ugly moments with them. I'm not.
He think he cute.
I don't think I'm cute. I just don't. I'm just not going to rape
myself.
Now, yes,
you do. That's been
ugly.
Your whole problem. You are ugly. You've been ugly. This ain't new. I don't see why you're struggling with it like it's new. You've been ugly.
I'm not. But stop.
Dog, you ugly.
Stop.
He's thinking positively, Steve. Positive.
And what does that tell you?
See, he think I'm positively ugly. I'm not he does.
If you
because you guys are from the same family.
Shirley, you just booze.
Yeah.
I don't think
you don't want to hurt our feelings.
That's cool. Being too hard on yourselves.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's why I have suits on. We put suits on and stuff.
That's why we funny.
That's why we stay that way.
Do you see women beating on this dough? Like we the Beatles? There's glass all around this studio. Don't nobody even stop.
Well, you know, ain't nobody.
Wow.
Same thing with Tommy.
Say, what do you mean? Tommy, you don't have, like, a lot of women after you and stuff?
Hell no. Man.
Do you tell
hell
me
no.
a lot of groupies?
I'm not going to do this.
Answer the question. Just,
it's a question on the table.
Hell no.
Fans. I have fans that wait around after the show. Yes, I do.
Come
what?
In.
Uh-oh, it'd be something like
boy, it was us walked out. We had a conversation on the way out the back door.
What?
I'm not lying. This fool is clowning today.
What?
You ain't fans. That's the driver. I have fans when I come out the back door.
It's ugly Tuesday.
Tommy, all them people work there.
They
waiting on you to come on out so they can lock up.
Tommy says what he sees in the mirror is different from what you guys see.
It's very different.
We have to revisit this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up. coming up, Nephew Tommy's Run That Prank Back. We'll be back right after this with your cute self.
Thank you. At least somebody gave it to me.
But she laughed at all.
She cracking up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here. She's going to have today's news and national headlines. But right now, it's time for the nephews. Run That Prank Back. What you got, Neff?
We're going to run it back, Shirley. This is Tailgaters. This go out to all the football fans out there that's getting ready for the season to come. This is Tailgaters.
Hello? May I speak to T-Rock?
Speaking. Who's this?
Is this T-Rock?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, man, let me ask you something. All last year, y'all was tailgating here in the parking lot at the apartments. Are y'all doing that again this year?
Yeah, always. That's what we do.
Hey, man, hey, listen, man. I just moved here about a year ago. Let me tell you something. All that noise and shit y'all be making down there, man, y'all need to get y'all some money and buy some tickets and go to the game, man.
Hold on, man. First of all, I don't know who the f*** you are. My thing is, hey, we do what we do out here, man. We all get together. Brothers go to work, man. At the end of the week, we want to get together and throw a little barbecue, whatever. That's what we do. Don't be calling that
okay.
dude. Oh, so, man, who are you anyway?
Y'all making too much noise
who are
in
you?
The conflict.
Who are you?
I live here in apartments, too, man. Y'all making too much.
I tell you what, you want to talk all that noise about what we doing out here, man. I tell you, bring your bunch of down here and say it to my face. Who are you?
Hey, man, don't worry about who I am.
Man.
The deal is here.
Hold on a second, man. First, man, see, I'm trying to have a good day, and I'm going to hear some like this here. Come on, man. Who are you supposed to be, man? I'm T-Rock, dog. I come down here. We do what we do. We all get together. We try to have a good time with it. And you want to come with this you want to try to mess my day up? Man, you must be gone with that dude. Come on, man. Nah, man. You done y'all.
All that noise, man, disturbing people while they in their apartment.
Come on, man. But like I say, look here. I'm putting it down like this. At the end of the week, man, brothers get together, put our money together, man, and we get together, and we try to have a good time. If you want to come down and join us, man, you more than welcome. I'm trying to tell you, more than welcome, bro. Come down and grab a plate, man. But, man, please, don't try to mess my day up, though, Doc. Please don't, man. Please.
Hey, man, I'm trying. Y'all messing my day up with all that damn noise,
man. Come on. Man, look, this is what we do. You want to join, you can join. If you ain't going to join, shut the hell up.
Hey, man.
Do what you're going to do, but let us do what we do. This is what we do on the weekend. This is how we leave our stress. Brothers try to do something, get together, and have a good time. And you want to try to mess that up?
All I'm saying is, man, if y'all tailgating, won't y'all carry y'all down to the stadium, man, and watch damn Cowboys play?
We can't go down there, man. We don't want to go down there. We want to get together where we are right. This is what we do, man. This is what we do. Ain't nobody ever complained not one time. Not one time. You're the first person to ever complain. We've been doing this for 3 years. It's the first time we ever had a complaint. You don't drive your motherfucking down off.
Why y'all don't buy y'all some tickets to the damn game, man?
For what?
Why don't y'all go to the game? Why the game have to be in my parking lot?
Well, I tell you like this, man. We can't afford a ticket, man. So what we just get together and we do what we can. We put our money together, we get together, and that's what we do. Again, like I said earlier, man, you more than welcome to come down. But you want to bring this old monkey down here? Go on, man. Go on with that, Doc. Go on with that, man. If you ain't no Cowboy fan, move around.
Hey, man, let me tell you this right here, man. If y'all fire up that pit on Sunday, I'm coming down there and turning that show.
So I'm turning what over? You gonna turn what over?
I'm turning y'all fire that pit up, and I promise you, I'm gonna turn that damn barbecue pit over.
And I promise you'll be standing at the top of the church. You will be standing at the top of the church. If that soon that meat hit the floor, you gonna hit the floor.
Hey man,
you gonna hit the floor.
Don't fire that pit up Sunday. You hear me? Do not fire that pit.
I tell you, it's gonna be. Matter of fact, I'm looking for the pit now. I'm looking for it now. It's gonna be out there. It's gonna be out there.
Okay.
Bring your monster down fire with
that. I sat there and told you that you're disturbing people and you're disturbing me more than anything, you know, and y'all
man,
y'all,
yeah,
y'all, y'all did it all last year. Y'all tailgated right here in the damn apartments, man. That's crazy.
You know what? Dude, I would apologize to you, but let me say it like this here, man. You don't f y'all. I don't say you come down and get a plate, you come down and join us. You know, we just getting together trying to make it a family down here. Just what you wanna bring to me? Man, you don't f me out there. How the f it is. I'm on that other level now.
Okay.
I'm on that other level.
Okay.
Believe that.
I was on the other level midway through the season last year with all that damn noise, man.
Man, oh, my God. Man, look, let me tell you something. My meat hit the floor, or somebody come by and disturb us when we do what we do, it's going to go down. I'm going to tell you like that. We ain't trying to have no problem. We don't get down like that. We just try to have a good time. That's all we do. We've been doing this for 3 years. We got the kids out here playing. We got the big screen out for everybody to watch the game. You know, I extended some love out to you to come out and have a play with them. But you going to talk about coming and knocking my meat over as hard as I work? I promise you, if that my meat touch the ground, you're going to touch the ground. Come on, man. Don't go there with that, man.
Hey,
don't do that.
Okay, look here, man. I'm telling you right now, dog. Soon as I smell that barbecue pit, soon as I smell them charcoal, I promise you, I'm turning that shit off. Y'all ain't doing this year, man. Y'all ain't doing it this year.
Hey, who are you, man? Who are you? Where you live, Doc? Why you live? Why don't you present yourself to me, man? Why don't you do that?
You know what, man? You can meet me out there at the leasing office.
Come on. I'm at the leasing. I will start walking right now to the leasing office right now. So I see who the hell I'm talking to. This is man. This is
okay. Well, you need to see who's going to turn this pit over. Y'all ain't doing
okay,
this
yeah.
Year, man.
I want to see that. I want to see that happen. Because soon as you touch my pit, before that meat hits the floor, you're going to hit the floor quicker than the meat will. I'm trying to have a good time, you know, black people trying to get together, man. Everybody coming drinking beer, nobody saying nothing. But all of a sudden, here your monkey will come out this okay,
man.
I tell you what. Bring your
what?
To the leasing office, and I promise you.
I'm finna head. You need to bring somebody with you. That's what you need to do.
Okay, I tell you what I'm gonna bring with me. I got two people I'm gonna bring with me. It's gonna be me, myself, and I.
And I bet you this here, you won't put no meat on that grill come Sunday.
Okay.
You won't put no
all
meat
right.
on that grill. To hell with you and them damn Cowboys, man.
You don't talk about the Cowboys me like that, Doc. Now you really f me off. We all Cowboy fans. You gonna meet me at the leasing office, is on. I'm gonna beat your and then we'll put a Tony Romo shirt on your I promise you. You're gonna be a fan of mine.
Okay, but do you know who you playing with?
No, I don't. And I promise you, when I find you, you don't know who you playing with.
Let me tell you who I am.
Yeah, tell me who you are. Who are you?
I am Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your boy Bobby.
Oh, I'm a campus. Oh man, yeah.
Hey, T-Rock, your boy Bobby, y'all still get together, man.
Oh man, I'm nephew, man. I'm sorry, man.
You was fired up, dog. You all right?
I'm sorry. It's hot out here anyway. We don't care. We can take it.
I hear you, man. Y'all tailgating Sunday, man.
That's what we do. Everybody pitch in, and we all get together, man. It's a family thing. Oh, my nephew, man. I'm sorry, man.
You good, man. You good. Son, Let me ask you this. What's the baddest radio show in the land, man?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, brother.
I think I might tailgate at least a couple times this year. What y'all think? Y'all get out there and
it's
cook
a lot of fun.
Bit.
Yeah, I like tailgating.
Tailgaters and people who go to the game, two different groups.
Yeah.
Two different groups.
It's fun, though.
Some of these people
well,
never
not, but
go
the tailgaters there. Get tailgate. In the fights out there.
They do. They
yeah,
do.
There's a lot of ugly
yeah,
people.
There's
a lot of ugly people
serious.
Like that.
Oh, he the cutest tailgater.
Yeah.
He go up against subpar competition.
Yeah.
He go
up against people ain't got no game kicking in
they got decent looking people that's tailgating.
Yeah,
they just
you
ugly
ain't
people.
With them. But you know what section you got to park in. You better not park over there in the good-looking section.
So they got an ugly tailgate.
Yeah,
section?
You ain't right over there with all ugly ass people.
You're not
the ugly people got
stink.
The biggest grill set up.
Because
they need a lot of smoke
yeah.
around them. So they can stand back there and people be looking at them through the smoke.
This is ignorant. So if you go to the tailgate, you already know to just take yourself over to the ugly section.
That's why I'm going right on over there. That's where I am.
But your situation is different, Steve, because you're rich. So
is there a rich, ugly section?
Not at all. Rich people are cute.
Yes, they're fine as heck.
They're so fine as heck.
Whatever.
Well, once again, Tommy, there you go right on back up.
All right, coming up, Miss Anna's going to be here with our national news. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Miss Ann is on deck with today's headlines, but first, this is according to Newsweek now. A congressman from Tennessee thinks the president should be impeached. He's not alone. Representative Steve Cohen, a ranking member of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice, issued a statement that he plans to start the impeachment process against Trump for his controversial reaction to the Charlottesville violence. Cohen said in a statement, I believe the president should be impeached and removed from office. Instead of unequivocally condemning hateful actions by neo-Nazis, white nationalists, and Klansmen following a national tragedy, the president said there were very fine people on both sides. He sure said it. There are no good Nazis. There are no good Klansmen, Cohen added. President Trump has failed the presidential test of moral leadership. No moral president would ever shy away from outright condemning hate, intolerance, and bigotry. No moral president would ever question the values of Americans protesting in opposition of such actions, one of whom was murdered by one of the white nationalists. Wow.
That's not going to happen, though. They're not going to impeach him. The Republicans are not going to get together and impeach. It's coming
because you need
the
more.
House. Yeah, the House of Representatives.
Because of the game, the political game.
It's not going to happen. You're right.
It would damage if the Republicans go along with the impeachment. It would damage the Republican Party, and that's how they're going to look at it. They're going to stay on the bipartisan thing. You know, I don't think they can make it happen. But if he continues. Because he's going to do something else.
Yeah, every day it's something.
Dude, I'll tell you what's going to get Trump. Gout is going to get him.
Gout. Orange gout.
Gout's going to take him out.
People with money don't get
gout. He got gout or diabetes or high blood pressure.
Well,
something.
He might get all that, but gout don't get gout. People got money to go to doctors.
Perfectly healthy, though? Didn't
he
say
is
that
not healthy at all. No, no.
He didn't say that. He didn't show his records
or
anything.
No, he don't look healthy at
say.
All. No.
I think with all these incidents, I'm starting to think that he actually know what he's doing. This seems almost calculated at times.
I don't think he does.
It's like it's so.
That's pretty close to the stupidest thing you've ever said.
No. I understand what you're saying. It's like it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like he has to know.
You
can't keep having this many incidents.
Yeah, don't. When are you going to stop?
You can't mess up that many times in a row.
I think there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, I do too.
He's getting older.
He did it for a reason.
He did what for a reason?
Came out and undenounced.
Oh,
the hate. You know, when he came out and said, he mentioned their names, then he came back and retracted.
A few days later,
he did it
weekend.
For a reason. We just don't know what the reason is. But it's some illogical craziness, man.
Yeah, he's good.
And it's all because he just doesn't have any skills to be president.
No, he's not a politician.
You know, he's probably a good businessman, probably could do something for the country business-wise. He just can't run it.
No,
he can't run America.
No experience.
He thinks it's one of his companies. No,
right. You have to be. You have to understand, dog. Even if you were thinking what he said,
mm-hmm. You wouldn't say it. You can't say that to the American public. You can't say it to the country. I mean, so I agree with Senator Cohen, Congressman Cohen, on his, you know, there's no moral leadership.
He thought
here.
Because Obama was doing it, it looked easy from where he was sitting.
Absolutely.
And he can do it.
Yeah.
He liked the guy in the club go, oh, I can do that. And you go, well, bring your butt up here. Mm-hmm. And you give
him
the mic and nothing.
You have to answer to the people.
You can't. He can't do it.
Yeah. All right. We got to switch to Miss Ann. Steve, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Hello, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news, everybody, and good morning. Well, President Trump was on TV last night. That's right, not on Twitter. He pulled away from that, announcing his plans for a way forward in Afghanistan and South Asia. It was a televised address to the nation. And although he was a little low on specifics, he did announce a serious goal change.
We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists.
That's what they're going after, ISIS, Taliban, and things like that. The U.S. commander in Afghanistan, by the way, praising the launch of the Afghan Army's new Special Ops Corps. General John Nicholson says, quote, the U.S. is with you and will stay with you. The Navy says it plans to conduct an investigation into the collision between a Navy ship and an oil tanker that has left 10 sailors missing, several others injured. The accident involved the USS John McCain. It occurred near Singapore. This was the second, by the way, accident like this in as many months involving a U.S. warship and a civilian vessel, and the fourth one this year. At least 20 charities have now canceled their planned fundraisers at Trump's Palm Beach Country Club Mar-a-Lago, with many organizations citing the controversy surrounding the president's recent comments about Charlottesville. Several nonprofits severed ties with Mar-a-Lago after Donald Trump was inaugurated. But since his saying that both sides were to blame in Charlottesville and that there were fine people on both sides, all but a handful of charities with fundraisers scheduled to take place in Trump's club are still going to hold them there. Most of them say, I don't think so. By the way, some former students at the Evangelical College founded by the late Jerry Falwell turning their college degrees in September 5th because of Trump's comments about Charlottesville. According to the letter obtained by NPR, the group says they take issue with Jerry Falwell Jr.'s support of the president's assertion that, quote, some fine people were protesting on both sides, which would include the white nationalists. And the letter states that position is incomparable with a Liberty University stated values and incompatible with that of Christian witnesses. This is what went on yesterday.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is so cool.
Yo, that's amazing.
Holy smokes.
Wow.
Oh, these are the kind of comments heard all over the country yesterday as Americans watched the moon cross the vista of the sun during what was a total solar eclipse, the first one visible in the U.S. in 38 years. That's right, 38 years. Large crowds showed up in cities across the country, even in New York here as well. And today is National Eat a Peach Day, National Pecan Tort Day, and National Tooth Fairy Day. I need a tooth so I could get some money. Anyway, this has been Ann Tripp. We'll be back with Eugene the Butterfly 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at 34 after the hour, it's Comedy Roulette with Steve J. Jr. and Tommy. But first, let's go to the butterfly.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay.
Oh, the butterfly, the butterfly. It is time for the butterfly.
You never know what he's going to do. I love it.
Thank you so much, J. Anthony Brown. Thank you, thank you. You always introduce me so well. So good morning to you all, Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carla Jr., and J. Anthony Brown.
Good morning.
What's up, what's up?
Good morning, butterfly. What's up?
This is a special day for me. I want you all to really, really pray for me today. I'm doing something so outstanding. I'm stepping out, doing something different.
Did you say you was coming out?
I said I'm stepping out, doing something different. Oh, okay. Today is my first day of my flag football team.
Your
okay,
what?
I'm the flag football team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we are the Flamingos. And
you're doing it again this year.
Playing flag football. And this is going to be good.
It didn't go good last year.
Well, we're the Flamingos, Stephen. And we have the little pink flags on the side. You pull the flag. But anyway, this is going to be good. They think that I'm possible to be the quarterback on the team.
You can't play football.
I can throw the ball. They got me playing the quarterback. So, you know, I get up under the center and get the ball. And then I drop back and throw the ball. So anyway, we're needing one more player. So I was going to ask you all, either Steven or Junior or Jay, to be on the team, but we need one more player.
Anybody coming out there playing with trouble,
man? No, you the quarterback, man. You should have no trouble getting the... You playing quarterback, right?
He don't even know what quarterback do.
But Junior, you used to play football, right?
Yeah, but I'm through.
Junior, you can play some flag football. You should come out and play with the Flamingos.
But you the quarterback.
Yeah, so you could be the running back, or you could be the center. Like
if you're the quarterback, your team sucks.
No.
Well, why you say that, Steve?
He can't play football. He can't play football. He don't even know how.
You can't.
Steven, don't discourage me, because we got a big game coming up against the Trojans. And you just...
Ooh, they're going to be hard to beat.
Why you say they're going to be hard to beat? We the Flamingos, though. We good, too.
No, they are. They're going to just treat them. They're going to treat them like
trash. Especially if you're the quarterback and you're playing the Trojans, you're going to need some protection back there. Yeah. So.
Hello. Gene down. Hold on, Gene down.
What did he say?
Gene down. Hold on. We got the Flamingos are playing Saturday. Saturday at noon.
Y'all ain't gonna have a feather on y'all.
We playing the Trojans. So I just want y'all to just pray for me to be out there and be healthy.
What color are your uniforms? And did you make them?
Pray for you so you can be healthy.
Yeah, we have that. You know, we have the pink halters.
That's what the Trojans is for.
Wait, what? You have what?
We have the pink halters, and then we got the spandex shorts.
Well, you know,
it's really nice.
The Magnums is a bigger team.
We gotta go! We gotta go! Oh my God! Coming up at 34 after Comedy Roulette with the fellas.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, fellas, time for Comedy Roulette.
I love it.
Jake, quickly set this up again, please.
You test us every week. Mm-hmm. You test our comedy ability. Mm-hmm. Give us five subjects. Put them on the wheel. Spin the wheel. Where it stopped. We can do it. What you got?
All right, let's go.
What you got?
Here are the topics. Number one, people I hate on my job.
Oh, man. Everybody can do that. That's easy.
Number two, your mama keeps hitting on me.
That's nice.
I like that.
Number three, I thought they was dead already.
This for you, Shirley.
Number four, Jehovah's Witness. Number five, people with a clean house.
We did people with a nasty house. Put them on the wheel, spin the wheel. What
all
you
right,
got?
Let's go.
What
spin
you
the
got?
Wheel, Cap.
What you got?
People I hate on my job.
Oh, let me have it. Let me have it first. Here I go. You know the people on your job who bring that food item that don't nobody want any damn way.
Oh, yeah.
But they all booze you about it. First of all, don't nobody like pumpkin pie. All right?
Nobody.
Why they bring it to work and then make an announcement?
Nobody.
Hey, I got a slice of pumpkin pie in there. Don't touch it. You ain't got nothing to worry about.
Right.
It's pumpkin pie. What else you got, Junior?
I tell you what I don't like. I don't like people that I work with that act like they healthier than you. You know, that's an issue for me. You know, if I'm sick, he's sick. He up here acting like he more healthy than me, but he got eight toes. He didn't tell anybody that, though. I just want you to know. He ain't told in here. Now I ain't talking about nobody I know.
But you just hate them.
But
huh?
You hate them. We equally sick.
What do you got, Dolly?
Come on, Neff. What you got?
I can't stand the dude that rat on you when you clock out an hour early. You and him, you thought you had it cool with him until you get halfway home. Mm. Yeah, dog, they looking for you. Wait. How they looking for me?
How they know I'm gone?
How they know I'm gone?
Yeah. All right, Steve.
See what you got.
I don't like people who send you videos, email you videos of their life.
And
you don't really care for
them. Dang, that just got personal.
I don't know where that came from.
It got real.
This thing got real.
Yeah, it did. The topic is people I hate on my job. Let's go, Jay.
You know what? The people I hate on my job, and not only are they sicker than you, but they have functions to raise money about how damn sick they are. We don't have nothing for diabetics. We ain't running. We ain't making speeches. Yeah. We ain't out there doing that. We don't have a month or nothing. Right. Therefore, with you having a day or a month or a marathon, to me, just to me, you are sicker than me. That's all I'm saying.
Sting.
Your turn.
You know what? You know what I like about my job?
What?
You know, I know some sick people on the job. I'm not calling no name. I ain't telling no lie. I ain't there. But I childlike people that got diabetes that act like type 2 is better than type 1. But they care for all that.
Yeah.
They just really all that. You know, I take my medicine. You know, I don't shoot my medicine. You know, but they talking to other sick people about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you really still on medicine. Ain't my fault you done fat ass ate your way there. How you mad at me?
Yeah.
Okay, you was at one point diabetes. You bypassed one with
Come
right to two. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about nobody on my job.
What you got, Tommy?
I can't stand nobody on my job who a millionaire, and every time they come to work, they always, ooh, I'm going through. What is you going through? You ain't going through. Ooh, the Lord tested me. Yeah, I ain't testing you. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ooh, I'm going through. Ooh, y'all don't know what your boy going through. God, dog.
Hurry.
Man, they had your boy out there. God, dog.
All right, let's
man, I'm going to make it through this. Ooh, man, they trying to test your boy. No. How is they testing you when you sitting on all of this time?
They don't come back.
Ooh, all these champagne-ass products.
All right, we got to go. We will be back. I think Steve might have an answer for that, and then we'll get to the prank phone call right after this. Uh-oh.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, don't forget, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But first, before we get to the nephew's prank phone call, I believe Steve had an answer to people I hate on my job.
No, I really don't.
Right.
Let's start with
Well, we
first
were through
of all.
Though, right?
It's time for the prank.
It's time for the prank.
Yeah, you were damn near through. Just let me do this. I just got two. I don't really care for people who are from raggedy-ass state.
Damn.
And want everybody to be happy about they damn state. They still looking for bodies buried in swamps and hills and got the nerve to be bragging about Mississippi. I don't like that. I don't like co-workers with all these damn near high ticket items that they be purchasing. All these damn near high ticket items. Almost bought a new robe. Didn't get but half the swimming pool. Ain't got but a waterfall but on one side. Got a fence around the house, but it ain't but 3 feet tall. But the gate swing open both ways.
Come on,
let your car. Then the gate malfunctioned. Shut the damn door. Now he done scraped the ragged ass road. Now he can't come to work for 2 days.
But you ain't calling nobody name. Right?
No, I ain't saying nothing. You know, all these wild animals and snakes on the property. He out there trying to trap them himself.
Call somebody.
Better call it some damn body. Now you outside washing a Rolls Royce. Why is you washing the car?
You ain't calling no name. You talking about name.
I'm just telling you what I'm saying.
Sound like you calling names.
No, it is
nobody
name.
He just said nobody's name.
You know, got the name in your damn house.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody else got a crib.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, got the name yours.
What's the name?
La Chateau.
Okay.
Somewhere he ain't never been.
Who on Instagram with they buddy posing with identical damn cars? Like they
you
bikes.
You my buddy law.
You know, but like they bikes.
You don't see fun.
You know, me and my boys pose with our bikes, but we ain't been nowhere with our damn cars.
We finna play this prank, and somebody gonna need one soon. They gonna keep messing. The title is Tombstone. Tombstone.
Funeral home. It's Kendrick. Hey, man, I got a we got a problem with this funeral home. Let me ask y'all something. Look, y'all done messed around and put the wrong name on my auntie tombstone as well as the date, and we got a problem we got to get rectified, man. Y'all got
Hold on, man. Calm down. First of all, what is your name?
My name is Reggie, man, but y'all, I can't understand a funeral home making these kind of mistakes. You know, that don't make no sense. How long have y'all even been in the business to be doing something like this?
So this is a family business. We've been doing this 40-plus years.
Why y'all making mistakes like this, man?
What's the problem? What's the mistake? What mistake you think we made?
Okay, look, man. We buried my auntie 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Rosetta.
Okay.
All right? Where you spell her name is R-O-S-E-T-T-A. Y'all got R-O-Z-E-T-T-A. Uh-huh. And she was born June the 8th, 1948. Y'all got August the 6th. 1940. Y'all got the dates mixed up, and y'all got her name mixed up. And what we ain't finna do is have my auntie arrested in peace with the wrong stuff on her tombstone. That don't make no sense, man.
Calm down, bro. You keep yelling at me. I can't. There's no way I can help you. You yelling at me. I need.
Well, fix the problem, then, man.
Well, I can check the paperwork. I can check the paperwork and see what the problem is. Now, if you gave me the wrong information, your family gave me the wrong information, then we just put down what we was given. And if we got to change something, we'll change it, but it's going to cost you some more money.
Hold on. We're not paying another damn dime to that funeral home. Not another damn dime. The stuff going to get changed on this damn tombstone, and we're not paying for nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you this here.
I'm saying we can help you out. I can help you, but if you gave me the wrong information, that's on you. I didn't do that. That's on you.
We didn't give you the wrong information. Now, I'm going to tell you this right here. What is your name?
Wrong.
What is your name?
My name is Kendrick.
Okay, Kendrick. Let me tell you something. If this don't get changed by tonight, me and some of my cousins are finna come out there and start digging up bodies.
Y'all ain't not coming over here and digging up nothing. Y'all, this is my family. You gonna disrespect my family and come over here and you gonna dig up what?
We gonna dig up some bodies if y'all don't come, if y'all don't get this rectified on my auntie tombstone.
It's not gonna be none of that. I'm not having you coming over here. We going to fix the problem. I'm going to check the paperwork, and I can get back to you. That's what I can do, but you ain't digging up nothing.
If y'all ain't fix this thing on my auntie tombstone by this evening, me and my cousin is coming out there digging up some of them damn dead bodies until y'all get this damn thing fixed.
Ain't going to be nobody coming over here. Wait a minute. Listen. Hold on. See?
What?
Now I'm getting excited, too. Calm, man, let me just talk to you like a man. Listen, what I'm saying to you is, that the family fills out the paperwork, puts the name and the birth date on there. If it is incorrect and has to be fixed, I have to call the man out here to fix it. And that's going to cost some money. I have to pay him. So all I'm saying is, if that is the case, if the paperwork is incorrect, it's not on us, and I'm going to have to charge you a little extra money just so I can get it taken care of.
I'm not going to get charged nothing. We ain't got no more money, man. We ain't got no more money. Y'all charge us an arm and a leg to bury my auntie. We ain't got no more. I'm going to tell you one more time, Mr. Kendrick. If I don't see a child, I'm coming out there this evening to look at my auntie tombstone. I'm coming out there. Now, if the date and the name ain't fixed, I promise you, so help me, I'm finna start digging up bodies, and if your ass is out there, I'm going to put you in one of them holes that I done dug up.
Man, I tell you what, Reggie, you're not going to put me in no hole, man. I'm trying to talk to you and tell you what the deal is and how we will get this fixed. Ain't nobody coming out here and digging up nothing. I have to call somebody to get it fixed.
I bet you I'm digging up a hole and I'm putting your in it if you don't fix my auntie tombstone.
Then we both is going in the damn hole. That's what's going to happen.
No, we both going in there then. Because somebody, y'all done messed around and put the wrong date. Y'all done spelled my auntie name wrong and everything. All of that.
Man, I don't even answer the damn phone. Let me get my uncle get it. Listen. Reggie.
What?
We're not going to fix nothing. Me and you yelling at each other, we mean. We don't do this. Yelling at each other is not going to fix the problem. I still have to do a step here. I have to look at this paperwork.
So when is you going to look at it then?
Reggie, if you keep yelling, I don't even have time to even go over this paperwork. Every time I get ready to look at something, you yelling in my ear.
Okay, well, let me say this to you one more time. Matter of fact, I'm finna come out there right now. That's what I'm finna do.
You know what, brother? Come on then. I try to talk nice to your and tell you what the do. I told you that this is a family business, and you disrespected me. Man, you come out here, you ain't no cousin. We both going to whole day. That's what I'm trying to tell you right now.
I'm going out there in just a minute.
You need to know
that my is on my way, because I guarantee you, y'all gonna change it.
I could bring your in. Bring your you and your cousin. Who else the will call? I dig both seven holes out this day.
I bet you when they get ready to spell Kendrick on the tombstone, I bet you they won't spell it wrong.
Oh, well, then, come on, you. You and your cousin.
Well, I got something else I need to tell you.
What the else you got to say?
I said, if you listening to me, Kendrick?
What the you have to say, Reggie?
I got to say this. This is Nephew Tommy. You just got pranked by your secretary with
yo.
You all right?
Man. You, Tommy. I'm okay. Damn.
Hey, man.
You got me, man. You got me, man. Man, I wasn't even supposed to be in here today. Damn, I knew something was funny.
Oh, man, you all right now?
Yeah, you got me, but I was going to dig a hole for your today, trying to dig.
All right, hey, man, I got to ask you one more thing. What is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Today's Strawberry Letter is up next, and it's a good one, of course, but first, huge sporting events mean huge money for sex workers. Okay?
Sex workers.
Sex workers.
Ladies of the street.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're going to be out there to fight.
Oh, yeah, this time around, the cops in Vegas, you got that right, Steve, have a message for tourists. If you're going to pay for it, keep it legal, they're saying. This is according to TMZ now. The Mayweather versus McGregor fight is this weekend. We all know that. And law enforcement agencies will be cracking down on illegal prostitution and human trafficking in Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are legal brothels just outside of the Vegas area, but cops want to send a message that hookers, pimps, and johns are not welcome to do business within Vegas city limits.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Why are they going to make some money?
That's a wasted message.
Because let me tell you something. Hookers sit at those bars.
Yes.
They sit at those bars all over Vegas.
Every hotel.
Oh, every hotel. They sitting at the bar by the poker machine.
So if you buy it, pay for it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Buy Valentino, please, pay the person, okay?
I'm going with Lamar Odom. He know how to keep. Lamar know how to keep.
He does. Yeah. He overpays.
The closest legal brothel is about 60 miles from
the
strip.
That's too far to drive.
Not when she's right here.
What we talking about.
No,
nobody's going to drive with him. Not when they're in the bar.
No, ain't nobody driving.
Yeah, I mean they're in the bar.
It's 100 at the brothel though.
Now is it legal in Vegas?
It's 100 what?
At the brothel it is.
It's 100 ladies at the brothel. Why we can't get this little old 60 mile?
Why we can't get this little old 60 mile?
No, because the lady
little
at the
60 mile.
No, but the lady at the bar.
Yeah, but the brothel, fool, is legal. We get to move from room to room.
Yeah, but while you driving, I'm in action.
Why you wasting all your gas, man?
You say, Junior, by the time you get to the brothel, I'm through.
I'm back at the table.
I'm downstairs eating.
You on your way back, I'm finished.
Yeah. Really, guys.
And you see it all over Vegas.
But, Steve, do you remember when we used to do our live broadcast in Vegas? Remember, we had to be at work at like 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Carla, you know, we would dress up to go to work at 3 in the morning. And we would get some shady looks when we were walking with you and Boo and JT and all your crew.
Yeah, y'all got your little tight little dresses on. Yeah, that's when y'all see it.
And they were really acting like they
promised. Oh, like they were mad.
Come on here.
Like, this ain't your block.
Look, we're just going to work. We work with him on a radio show.
This ain't your corner, sister.
No, these couples ain't working out here.
It was crazy. It was really crazy. They really were. That was really crazy.
I can't leave.
And Steve and them offered no explanation. No.
No, because we was dressed like pimps.
Yeah, they had the big hats on, you know.
Oh, that's so
man,
crazy.
It was
Talk
crazy.
About get on this elevator now.
That's how y'all was talking to her. Like, yes, hell
yeah. It was crazy, Junior. It was crazy. Wild.
It should be legal. On this elevator. What you doing over there talking to all these people? Get on this elevator.
I think Pimpin was born then. I think he was, yeah. All right, let's get to this letter, Tommy. Come on.
Let's go. Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Strawberry letter.
All right, here we go. Subject, drama, okay. Dear Stephen Shirley, what should I do? I go with this boy for 3 years, and my parents don't like him. Look, I'm mad as heck about how my mom gone bleach our clothes and throw them outside 2 days ago when we came from our date. Okay, she was about to put them... Yeah, okay, she was about to put them on fire. I jumped out the car and put the water hose straight on her. Now we hear bleach... Now we wear bleached clothes until I go shopping tomorrow. She mad because everyone swear they saw him with other girls. But it's a lie. I know it is. We just got married last year. Why cheat when you get married?
What?
What the...
Okay, let me read that line again because it's unbelievable. We just got married last year. Why cheat when you get married? That's only for when you're unmarried. He loved me, but my family don't see that. And, oh, I got a daughter and a stepdaughter, too. Just to put that out the way now. 4 days later, I get a call of his ex, Monica. So I answered the phone. Like, who is she? Like, who is she talking about some? Oh, is Michael there? I said, who is this? She hung up, so I went to him and asked who it was, and he said his stepmom from Opa-locka, Miami. Letter's crazy. I heard about her. I heard about her, and now it has to be true. Now everyone in my family think I'm dumb. How do I... Oh, poor baby. How do I let them know he ain't cheating?
Huh?
Okay.
What the? What did you just say?
All right. Dear Stephen Shirley, what should I do? You asked for advice, but my question to you is, will you really listen to it? I mean, you seem to have your own ideas about marriage. Who told you that people don't cheat when they're married? I mean, of course you're not supposed to. That's the ideal situation. And cheating is only for people when you're unmarried. I mean, where do you get these ideas from about marriage? I don't understand. Your husband's lying, just out and out lying. And you confused me when you said you go with this boy and now you're and you went on a date and now you're saying you got married last year. It's a confusing letter. I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you right now. I'm confused myself. Steve, help me with this one, please. Are. Help.
Oh, this
help.
Real. This real, Summer.
Is it?
She's crazy.
What? The end of the letter usually explains it.
I know what you were gonna say. I don't want to be so.
Now everyone in my family think I'm dumb.
I knew it.
Well, Steve. We do too.
You know what?
I didn't want to say that.
Me, Shirley, and everybody that heard this letter, we feel just like your family. And if I could show people this letter, if you could just go online.
Yeah, see how it's written. It was written basically like
there ain't a capital letter in this letter no damn where except the word dear.
Is there a period even?
Dear Steve. And then after that, ain't no more capital letters.
No.
Ain't nobody name in capital. The punctuations is crazy.
Opa-locka, Miami is not in capital.
It ain't in capital letters.
Caps.
Everyone in my family think I'm dumb. Think, T-H-I-N-K, I'm dumb.
What about his ex, Monica? Her name is not
we,
oh, we got to go. We'll be back.
We all feel yeah, this we'll way.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Junior has another poem.
Oh, the poet is here?
He's here. He's in the building.
Poet. Almost forgot.
Poet.
Poet.
Steve putting his head down.
All right, but come on, Steve. Part two of your response to today's strawberry letter.
Hi.
This letter crazy. This girl.
It is.
She's got so many problems in this letter. First of all, just let me go down the list of things that's wrong. Number one, you married a boy. Mm-hmm. Number two, y'all need to move out of your mama's house because I thought you was dating a boy. Yeah. But you explained it so crazy. Now y'all married. You need to get out your mama house if you are married. Number three, mm-hmm. I think your penmanship requires that you go back to school.
Yes.
At least get a GED. Your fourth problem is all your clothes can fit into one washing machine. That's disturbing.
And that she's wearing bleached clothes right now because
all y'all clothes got bleach on them. All of yours and his done fit into this washing machine. That's the other problem.
Well, she's gonna get
then it. You get a call from his ex. You say, I get a call. First, let me read how the letter read. I can't even start there because some more crazy man. He loves me, but my family don't see that. Oh, I got a daughter and a stepdaughter too, just to put that out the way. Now, 4 days later, where did this come from? Where did the children come from?
She just wanted to get it out of the way.
Just get this out. Then she say, and now 4 days later, I get a call of his ex, Monica. Uh-huh. Ain't none of this capitalized. Uh-huh. So Monica is like a salad or something.
Right.
I get a call from his ex, Monica, so I answer the phone. Like, who is she talking about something? Oh, is Micah there? I said, who is this? She hung up. Okay. His ex call named Monica.
Right, right.
You go to him and you ask him about it. He say it's his stepmama
from
Opa-locka, Miami. You need to pick your stupid behind a map up and just see where that is located. Because what is Opa-locka, Miami? Miami is in Florida already. Now, unless that's the name of a housing project, I really think he done threw you for a loop. But back to the whole crux of the letter.
Hurry, Steve.
Everyone in my family think I'm dumb. I really don't see how they can come to any other conclusion, baby. Because right now, damn it, I'm with the family.
You need to stop. I just didn't want to say that, Steve.
No. You need a divorce. You need somebody to take them kids.
She's not going to listen.
Man. Give your kids your mom and them. You and that boy go somewhere and start over by y'all damn self, yeah?
All right, as usual, we got to get out of here. Email or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And please don't forget this Thursday, Strawberry Letter, after the show on Facebook Live at 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
Live,
okay,
right?
Join me there, yeah.
They can see you.
It's going to be fun.
Good.
All right, switching gears. You're never going to retire. You're never going to retire. Here's a stat that'll make you stay. That'll make you say, what the?
What the?
What the? What the what?
What the what?
What the what? Fidelity Investments has just issued a report that tells you what you need to do if you want to retire by 67. By the age of 35, you should have doubled your salary.
Mm-hmm.
Put away and invest it.
Mm.
To add insult to injury, they say what? That by the age of 40, you should have triple your salary.
Now, God.
How's that working out for you, Steve? I am not looking at you and I am not talking to you.
I didn't hear what you said.
All right, listen. By the age of 35, you should have doubled your salary. Put away and invest it.
At 35, I had.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, then we're doing all right then. All right, to add insult to injury, they say that by the age of 40, you should have triple your salary.
Oh, I did that.
Yeah.
I'm at 40. Yeah, I tripled.
Yeah, that was easy.
Because it was, you know,
9 at 40 because it was
40?
Low.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my 30s was low.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was tripling my salary. What if I could have hit 30,000?
Mm-hmm. You was making 30, huh? Wow.
What?
At 30 years old?
At 35?
Oh, 30 years old. Oh, no way in the world I had 30,000. I would. Oh no. Oh God.
Wow.
No. Oh no. I was not making $30,000 a year when I was 30.
Yeah.
Oh no. Mm. Oh no. I wasn't even close.
Man, I wouldn't either. Man.
No, I wasn't even close to 30.
Seven. Mm-hmm. I say seven. I probably buy seven.
Well, this says whatever you make, seven. You should have. You yeah. should. You should have double your 17? Salary put away and invest it by 35. Whatever your salary is, double that, put it away and invest it.
Oh, no, I just.
Ooh, we got the keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's keep working.
Low.
I got a little bit now, but.
A little bit.
I was a lot big.
Yeah. And then by the age of 40, you should have triple your salary put away and invested.
Yes.
I tripled.
I got it all saved up. It will be none when I leave here. No.
That's for sure.
I'm
huh?
working
what
it out.
What about your 10 grandkids?
Whatever.
The favorite?
Oh, it's going to be sad at the reading of the will. Trust me.
What?
It's going to be some long-ass faces.
Jay, you're not going to store up for
not
your children's children?
No. Why would I do that?
You're telling them not to get the acting, y'all.
Wow. What about your favorite, though?
No, maybe the favorite might get something.
But the other nine?
I wouldn't even show up. For the reading of the will. And then going up there. Because your name's
what
not
putting your clothes on for?
your name not going to be called.
They're just going to go down
there. He really didn't leave us.
Yeah, you seem like you would have a video left for him. So
yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. And so I can go, you, and you can take your ass home.
But the favorite gets to stay. What about you, Steve? I know you were working on saving for your grandchildren.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's about with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got four. They're great.
Uh-huh.
I'm really working for them and their children. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I want my grandchildren's children to know my name.
Wow. Great-grandchildren. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
I want to establish, it's not worked out yet, but I want to establish it where when they reach a certain age, they get a certain amount of money.
They'll know my name, Dirty B. That's what they're going to be.
All right, the moment.
ODB.
ODB.
Which one was ours?
The moment we've all been waiting for when we come back. Junior's poetry time.
Uh-oh.
All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Junior, you ready?
Absolutely.
Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Hell no. Come on.
All right, me.
Wow. It's a rough room, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. I mean, coming in. You know?
It's time for Junior's poetry. Junior. Let's go.
I love your poems, Junior.
And thank you, Jay.
Let
me just tell y'all something here. I was, I'm doing something different this week.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Because I'm growing as an artist.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw something... definitely traumatic go on, and it changed my thought process. I saw some coffee waste at Starbucks, and it decided pushed me actually into writing limericks.
So you're not doing poems this week?
No, this is a limerick.
Limericks, okay. Yes. Yeah. These are limericks.
But it hit me, I said, I need to be doing limericks.
Okay.
And I didn't have anybody.
Ball them up too?
Yeah. And for those out there that don't know what a limerick is, a limerick is just a short story about an individual.
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Oh, you crying out your ass wasn't a poet? That ain't last. That was 3 weeks.
So I changed over to limericks, and I just found out
I like
that,
the growth
thank
in
you. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Yeah, and so I just wrote some limericks about Shirley, you, Jay, Tommy, and Carla.
Because you're an artist.
Yeah. Okay. I just, because I know y'all. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I know y'all can appreciate
these are limericks, right?
Yeah. Let me start with Tommy, first of all. Okay, it's a limerick about Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
There once was a man named Tommy. Who walked around in nice silk pajamas. He was quick to get mad and then turn back glad. Oh, Tommy is like a tsunami.
I love it.
Limerick.
Okay.
Well, that's the truth. It's the truth.
Like it. I love it.
That's the truth.
Well, that was right.
That was right.
That was right. And I like to do one about my good friend, Jay Anthony Brown. I've grown to know Jay, working with Jay on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I've grown to know him. And this is
nice.
What I found out.
Okay.
There once was a man named Jay who had diabetes that would not go away. He could not eat sweets, but he might lose his feet. But Steve hide his ass anyway.
I like it.
You're getting mad at Junior. Keep looking at it, Junior.
Here's one by Carla. Okay. Just thought I'd do this
one
here.
I really like that one.
I love that. My favorite. There once was a lady named Carla.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
On the Steve show, she is the baller.
Uh-huh.
She keeps it so straight and well up to date. But Carla sometimes like to holla. I know everybody's been waiting on this one. This is the one I've been waiting to
this
do,
one
too.
Right here.
Come on, I want to
Shirley,
hear it.
A
Oh, Shirley. Uh-huh. And I love you, sis. I really do. You might as well pick the crossbow up. There once was a lady named Shirley. Uh-huh. She is real bougie and girly. She keeps Steve real straight, and she loves her mate, but Shirley don't come in too early. Absolutely. Those are limerick.
Keep it real, baby. Keep it
there
real.
It is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you read Tommy's again, please?
Yeah, one more time for you, Jay.
Just leave.
There's once was a man named Tommy who walked around in silk pajamas. He was quick to get mad and then turn back glad. Uh-huh. Oh, Tommy like a tsunami. We don't know what we finna get. Who in here today, y'all? Who in here today?
I think you got something with the limerick.
That's just it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you,
So now we're going to go from Junior's limericks that were very good, Junior, to Steve. Explain your segment, Steve.
This that I'm going to do is, you know, things that's code for.
Uh-huh.
There are things people say, and you got to know how to read what they're saying because it's really a code.
They say one thing, but then what it really means is something.
Code. Yeah, so I'm going to call this segment is called Code Cracking.
Mm-hmm. Code cracking.
You're cracking the code.
Yeah. You've always been the code cracker. The code. Yeah. All right.
So, Shirley, could you do me a favor?
Yes.
Do you have one of these?
I do.
You say the first line.
And you'll crack the code.
And I'll crack the code.
Tell you what it means.
Okay, if a person says, I'm in between jobs.
Yeah, dance ain't working.
Because you hear that a lot, right? Yeah.
Especially in Hollywood.
That's exactly what that
means.
You cracked that real quick, man.
Yeah. Didn't take no time.
Right on that one.
Here's another one, Steve. I don't really watch TV.
Cable got cut off.
Thank you.
Good. You know what I'm saying? Let's
Talk. Yeah, be real.
Really watch
I don't watch no TV.
What's that cold wide open?
Yeah, you don't watch football.
How you ain't watch boxing and power? Yeah.
All right, I know about this one. When you hear a lady say, this is my favorite purse.
She ain't got but one.
Been there.
She ain't got but one.
Been there.
She got that one Louis Vuitton. That's it. It's my favorite. Ooh,
this my favorite purse.
How about this one, Steve? We've decided to see other people.
Yeah. He just walked out on her ass. Just walked right out. He gone. He been seeing other people. You just got the memo talking about something we decided. He been seeing somebody else.
Right? Oh, man.
Okay, here goes one. I don't really like a lot of company.
Oh, they stay with their mama.
That's exactly what that means.
How do you get that out of that?
Well, wow. I mean, that's all I can tell you. I just try to think as quick as I can.
Okay. I like to take walks, you know, because when you take walks, you get to see a lot.
They ain't
stuff.
Got no damn car. How you like to walk downtown? Who the hell likes to walk downtown?
Okay, how about this one? They tripping down at my job.
Say it again.
They tripping down at my job.
You got fired.
They tripping.
They tripping down there.
Cold cracker, baby.
Yeah. All right, we got to go. That was good, though, Steve. That was really good.
Very good.
That was good.
I like long walks, my man.
I like taking long walks. Yeah, you like walking downtown.
The hell, you know, they took off downtown.
Okay, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, you are the resident relationship expert on the show. No question. And you know there are some folks involved in a friends with benefits situation. You know, a lot of people, you know, in those kind of relationships. But there are boundaries, of course. As in any relationship, you should still be honest and not take the situation for granted, though. A few mishaps could land you back in the friendship zone with a quickness, of course. And even if the arrangement is super casual, then Tommy becomes the expert. You know?
Yeah, if it ain't
nothing. I keep it casual.
Yeah.
Keep it casual, Tommy.
I keep it casual.
So here we go. Not being honest about your intentions.
Steve, go ahead.
Not being honest about your intentions.
Not being honest about your intentions.
I mean, you want me to...
Yeah, so, Carla, how does this work? So Steve answers and Tommy comes back? Is that how...
Yeah, because Steve is always saying that you can't have friends with
okay, so...
All right, so if someone is lying or not being honest about their intentions...
Well, you know, it's bad news for you because, you know, look, eventually everything comes to light. So you might as well, if you're just going to be friends with benefits, just be honest.
Okay.
Here's the money. Here's the money. Let me hit this. I'm gone.
Look here.
Yeah.
I don't love you.
Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just being real about what we doing and what we doing. We both cool with that. I'm honest by my intentions. We going to do this till we don't want to do this no more. This ain't about no love. Matter of fact, we doing it from, we can't even make eye contact because this ain't love at all. Don't gaze at me. What?
Once you look at me,
you look at me or you look back at me, don't look back at me when we in the moment. Look forward.
Don't look back at
Don't look back. That's in the moment. You in love now. TMI. Don't do that. That's just being honest. I'm sorry.
That's brutally honest.
I know.
Okay. You have to do it. You have to do it, though.
Acting jealous, not allowed.
Not good.
You know, it's a little tough, man, when you have an arrangement and you know it's just friends with benefits because the other person could have somebody. And so being jealous is just... You're supposed to be able to play it a little bit better.
Wait your turn. It ain't your turn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait your turn.
I wasn't good with that part.
You're not good
when
with that part?
When I show up with my wife, what is your lip out for? What the hell is wrong with you today?
Why are you pouting?
He said, what the hell is wrong with you today?
What is wrong with you? And why is you texting me? You see I'm over here. We talked about this.
If you walk past me and my wife one more time.
You better get your lip back in. Damn, your rent paid for. What did you got your mind for?
Oh, my God.
This boy here.
He said, why is your lip?
Get your nephew, Steve.
Okay, here's another one, guys. Assuming yes is forever instead of yes for now. Play your position.
Well, you know, if you've agreed to be with somebody for a period of time, and you know that's all it is, then that's all it is. You really can't expect no more than that.
Somebody always catch feelings and mess every damn thing up. Oh, my God.
You know good and damn well.
This
for 6 months. You know that. You know we're not going to last no longer than that. Ain't no sense in you wondering how Christmas going to go. It ain't finna go with you. You ain't finna get none of that Christmas. Now.
Oh, my God.
By October, we going to fade up out of here.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Don't be looking for us to break bread, have turkey dinner. We ain't doing that.
Oh, man.
Christmas is December 26th. Now, just deal with it.
Deal with it.
Cold.
This is cold.
I know it is. Let me
give you my cup. Plug that tree back up.
You know I got to be with them kids.
Okay.
Plug the tree back up.
Okay, moving on. No dissing allowed, disappearing ex without explaining what's happening. Okay? Can't do it.
Well, you know, it's kind of touchy because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you say you're going to be here, you know, you should be here. It's an agreement, an arrangement that we have.
That's true.
Yeah, because if I don't know where you at, you might be outside my damn house, and that just get ugly. That just gets ugly. When I
I've been on vacation with my damn family. What is you? What? What? And no, you don't get a vacation. I can't go nowhere with you.
What?
Yes, those are pictures we took.
What? So I don't want to hear about the disappearing. Why did I leave while you was in the shower? Because she was calling me. I got to go. I can't sit here and wait on you to get out, dripping wet. I got to go. We through with what we was doing. I got to go.
I hate this segment.
I do, too.
You know what? This segment is helping somebody. It's all about helping. Yeah, we helping.
Oh, man.
We here to help.
I
Why I can't get a vacation if she get one? She my damn wife. They got Facebooks and stuff. Where's we fist to go?
And why do I have to keep having this same damn conversation?
You gonna mess around, be out disagreement.
That's what's gonna happen, Judy. Yeah.
That's what me and you gonna mess around, be out disagreement.
Yeah.
Okay, when we said, you know, we're friends with benefits, you knew I had kids, and you said, you know, you would sometimes take them out.
Take them where?
Occasionally.
Hell
you
no.
know, you would be nice to my children.
No. Yeah, you know, you're friends with benefits, and you did say you was going to take the kids out. You
yeah.
know, they kids, you know, they have things they look forward to.
Right.
You got to honor your obligation, at least get them to the park.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Them your damn kids. You seen my profile on Facebook? I'm married with kids. Them your kids. Them ain't mine. What's I got my talk? Own damn kids.
If they see you out somewhere, their kids need to match up.
You
don't look
you
nothing like
Steve.
Your kids on
Either
your profile.
Their kids got to match up.
And your kids better not speak to me when they see me out, damn it.
All right.
Your kids running up on me for? Why is he running over here?
We have to go. This segment right here is
Mr.
horrible.
Mr. Tommy, Mr. Tommy.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve. You love him. We all love him playing James Bond. Daniel Craig is getting how much to play James Bond again? Woo, this paycheck here. He confirmed on The Late Show that he will be returning to take on the role of James Bond 007. While he'd been reluctant about it, he claims he'd always wanted to do it just one more time. There is a price tag floating around for Daniel Craig to play the iconic part, and it's weighing in at around 100. By looking at me, you're not even going to believe this number.
$100 million for one movie?
No. $135 million.
To just Daniel?
$135 million. Uh-huh. I play Tommy. And you can't get a dumber role than that. I just sit up there and be a damn dummy for 2 years.
God.
Taping slow. I be acting like it at the house and everything.
You ain't gone.
Man, I be trying to get into the character, you know, because I was talking to Denzel.
Uh-huh.
And when he working on a movie, he go into the character.
What'd he say, Steve?
Work on the character, you know, at his house and everything.
Uh-huh. Really?
You know, everybody kind of let him just get in so because he gets in
get
the West, what
zone.
Makes him
uh-huh.
such a great actor. $135 million, I'll be Tommy at my house.
Oh, God.
Well, how would that go? What,
it'd
like...
go ugly because Marjorie would be going, why? What is, who is your stupid ass?
And what have you done
That's
with
a lot
my
of paper
husband?
Right there,
$135 million.
I yeah, love him as
I'm
Bond.
I'm a Bond fanatic.
He about the best one, though. I ain't going to lie to you. They done had a lot of.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, Roger Moore. Mm. That's my
yeah.
Roger Moore.
Connery was cold.
Connery, Roger Moore, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's time for them to go black. I think LaBelle Crawford would be a great
Well, he is losing weight.
Yeah, he is losing weight. Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm 007, and I'm here to, I'm chasing, doing all my stunts and everything. They're going to have to fix this in the day.
They're going to have trouble getting in that car, but, you know, it would work. I can see it happen, man.
They're going to have to stop at Waffle House somewhere in the movie.
So how much you think the movie cost?
$250 million.
$250 million.
How much would you take to play Papa Ray? $135 million.
See right there.
That's it. Come on, Junior. Don't disappoint me. Set it up.
Oh, you can play Papa Ray.
Yeah,
Papa Ray for about $800.
$800?
Yeah.
I'm not winning.
Yeah, you can play. Who sold Papa
Ray? You're out, Jay. You're out, Jay.
No, I'm out. No.
You can play Papa Ray for about $800.
Sit here and insult my boy like
but
that.
But I saw the play.
That
was
a
good.
Fine
yes,
piece
it was.
Of cinema.
And Jay
fine.
Was in it. Jay was in it.
I just Damn. Want to know.
And I'm not just going to get in anything.
him and Junior, I guess that's the deal, is to dog me out on my path.
Yeah.
But go ahead, have fun.
I thought it was great because I was in it.
I liked it.
Had not it been
so
great,
so was
been
Junior.
In it. Yeah, Junior was in it. Junior was
oh,
in
I didn't
it.
Know
too.
Junior then.
Yeah, that's why I can talk about it because
oh,
it's something
damn,
I thought
Think
of.
Think Like a Man was great. Y'all was in that. That was a movie.
What did you say?
Jay and Tommy both were in it.
That was a movie.
Yeah, we ain't talking. You know, we're going to throw out who was in what. All of us was in that. Look how that turned out.
I didn't make two, though, damn it.
Neither did Tommy.
Hey, I wasn't into it.
Steve, you weren't into it.
Oh, wow. But I got the chair. I didn't
give a damn. But shout out, since we're talking about movies, just shout out Will Packer. I mean,
man.
Right now.
Will doing it, man.
He is.
Man.
Girls Trip, unbelievable.
$100 million.
Go ahead, Will. $1 million.
Being Mary Jane is clowning
over.
Yes.
I mean.
Did Rashawn call him?
To congratulate him. I'm sure he did.
There will be a Girls Trip, too. You can believe
that. Oh, yeah. Yes. That doggone Tiffany Haddish. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen her comedy special, She Ready?
Oh,
let
yeah.
me tell you. It's on Showtime. She Ready.
She Ready. I love her.
She's very funny and very sweet young woman. Great life story.
Love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
And she's still quite young. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, a new Whitney Houston documentary will debut this Saturday, August 26th on Showtime. Can I Be Me? Looks at the awesome talent and troubled life of Whitney. Weaving together never-before-seen video, candid interviews, and behind-the-scenes performance footage, this is a raw and uncensored portrait of Whitney Houston 5 years after her death at age 48. The directors focus on Whitney's central dilemma. Even though she had made a fortune and was recognized as one of the greatest voices ever, she still was unable to do what she wanted, either professionally or in her personal life. This film was not authorized by Whitney's family. The director, Nick Bloomfield, is known for his conspiracy theory films on the death of Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur. So look out for that. It's called Can I Be Me? Yeah.
You know who I saw this summer in, actually in Capri, Clive Davis.
Oh, did you?
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they did a big thing on his life, I think on Netflix.
Oh, did they? I didn't see it.
Big thing. I think it was Netflix or HBO, something like that. Mm-hmm. I saw Clive Davis, great guy, man.
You talked to him?
Yeah, man. Responsible for huge.
He had an eye for talent. You're actually right.
Yes,
huge.
Sir.
He was responsible for
a lot of people.
Yeah, Aretha. Whitney, yeah. Deborah Cox. Yeah. 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 Who's playing Whitney? I think the.
Who sounds just.
Yeah, she
like
sounds so much. And the Bodyguard. Yeah. I think the musical is called The Bodyguard.
He nails all of Whitney.
Yeah, Deborah Cox.
Deborah Cox can sing.
Oh, she can sing Whitney, yeah.
What?
Shut your damn mouth.
Thank you.
She got that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. But anyway.
Nobody else can really do it because most people could do it.
And that's pretty much it. Huh?
That's it.
It's over.
It's over.
We'll always love you.
Stop, Shirley. Did she think she can take over after that?
We'll always love you.
When you sucked your breath in, it actually sounded better than the note that came out.
Did you actually close your eyes?
Thank you.
That was better than the note.
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, when
thank
she took
you,
the
Steve. Yeah. Thank you,
note. Yes.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. That makes me feel so good. Sure. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
I hated it.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I loved me some Whitney.
I did, because, you know, she hate my poetry.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you getting back
no
at
reason.
Her.
No reason.
Your poetry with what I just did just now. There's no comparison, man. There's no comparison. Apples and oranges.
You know what? One of these things is just like the other.
Wow. I want to see that, though. Can that be me?
That's going to be good, because she can definitely sing.
Oh, yeah. It seems like longer, but it's just been
five years.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the great ones. Yeah.
They don't stay around. Mm-hmm. Long, huh?
And then just over the past weekend, Dick Gregory, Jerry Lewis.
Oh, man.
That's so sad.
I first started doing stand-up. I got to see, at the comedy club, I got to see Dick Gregory.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was something I'd never seen.
He's
that you could take serious issues like that and find humor like that.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't he one of the first black comedians that crossed over?
He crossed over and he wouldn't do the Tonight Show unless they let him sit down.
Unless they let him sit down, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that,
Check on
sit
George.
Sit down and do an
Please.
Interview.
Is just call
you...
him. Call
what?
George
what
Wallace.
What did you say?
Call George Wallace, see how he's doing. If he answers, just hang up. You ain't got to talk to him. Don't just say hello. Oh, hello, Will. Click.
Jay, he's fine. We just talked
we
to him last
know that.
Week.
We don't know that. Anything can happen.
We'll be back to wrap up the show. with just one more thing.
Get on in.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Boxing legend Sugar Ray Leonard has warned Floyd Mayweather Jr. against too much partying before his high-profile bout with a UFC lightweight champ Conor McGregor this Saturday at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Nevada.
Has it been party?
In which Steve will be
attending.
Yeah, he's
known the party. Could that hurt him, Steve?
Yeah, I don't. Floyd, you think Floyd's partying a lot?
I think he has a gentleman's club,
yeah,
too.
A gentleman's club.
Oh, he in Vegas, that's right.
Yeah, I think he does.
I won't be going to that.
Why not?
I can promise you that.
Who the hell?
Oh, God.
No, they need you in the gym.
Man.
All over TMZ.
A strip club. You've
no,
got
you
to be.
Go.
I'm going to the fight. I'm gonna
oh, man.
I'm going to go in a day early, I think, though. I might even go to the weigh-in. They got me tickets to the weigh-in.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I don't know. I would think that Floyd Mayweather would take this particular fight seriously. And
the fighters have been known not to, though. They really have.
Right.
Because this ain't a boxer, so it's going to be different.
Yeah, but I heard Floyd's been training, man. I think he's going.
Yeah.
Has he been training with UFC fighters?
No, for what?
You mean Floyd?
I just think, Steve, that, you know, Floyd is used to boxing boxers. I just think this is going to be unorthodox.
Okay, well, now tell me again, what's the difference between Conor McGregor's way of fighting and Floyd's? I know Floyd is a skilled boxer.
Martial arts.
Is that how they're going to fight, Steve?
No, they're fighting boxing.
Boxing.
Oh, boxing.
Mixed martial arts. You can kick.
Mm-hmm.
You can kick to the head.
Ooh.
You cannot kick to the head if a man's hand is on the mat.
Okay.
If his hand ain't on the mat, you can kick to the head.
Mm-hmm.
You can hit
elbows
anywhere. Elbows,
kneecaps.
You can choke. You can put in a submission hold. You know, you can knee.
So, is there any boxing involved?
Yeah. I mean, you can straight striker. They call them strikers.
Mm-hmm.
You can stand there and box, but a dude,
you
while you boxing, he can kick in your leg. You can wrestle.
So none of that's going to be happening on
but
this.
But he can't do that.
He can't do none of that.
But when he starts getting his behind whipped, my fear is that he will resort to what he knows. Because when you're in the ring and you're in the heat of battle and you're getting your butt warm, he going to probably kick.
Yeah.
He gonna probably kick the sugar honey ice tea.
and Roger Mayweather coming in right after
that. Yeah, right after that. It's gonna get real ugly, man.
Really? Well, I mean, it's already ugly with
but
all the racial slurs and everything.
Floyd already said if he fights him dirty, if he fights him dirty, he gonna sue him. Because if he comes in there with that elbow and all that mess, you can't do that in a fight. Well, you can slip an elbow, but it has to come behind a punch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I see this guy fighting dirty and taking a lawsuit just to knock him out or to hit him. I heard him.
The refs have to be on their game.
I mean, a lot of
you lose all your money, though, Jay. You're not going to do that. Nothing stupid.
No, a lot of the MMA fighters want McGregor to win just for the sport. But every boxer that's a boxer, that Holyfield, Tyson, they've all said, uh-uh.
Well, because the work they got to put in. He's
just
different.
Such a skilled boxer.
Yeah, he is. That I do know.
McGregor is an amateur boxer.
So why the racial slurs and all that, though? You know, that's unnecessary.
It's
too much. Oh, it sells tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But I think Floyd is genuinely ticked at this guy.
I know I am. I would fight him for $300 million.
Yeah, for $300 million, McGregor, I'm going to get beat pretty bad, but... I'm gonna bite a hunk out of his shoulder. He'll never be able to fight again.
Pound for pound.
Yeah.
Pound for pound, do they?
He won't be throwing no more right crosses.
Do they match up?
Because I'm gonna sink into the top of his shoulder blade. I'm gonna all this in here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Them traps.
You
I'm gonna take one
a
out.
Whole plug.
A whole trap.
I'm gonna take a trap out.
But pound for pound, are they a pretty good matchup, though?
No.
Nice.
Not for boxing. Floyd Mayweather is one of the greatest pound-for-pound fighters in the world ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing, he know how
to
do.
Shoulder roll.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That right there. Yeah. Conor McGregor hasn't seen that speed. Oh. He doesn't know what a feint is.
What is it?
You know when you're fainting, you know when you faint. Faint right.
He going to faint, though.
It's like
faking him out.
Oh, okay.
You don't know when the punch is coming. That's the setup. You don't even know when the punch is coming.
But you got to stand there in that ring, man. You got to wear them boxing shoes. He out there barefoot. You got to put them boxing shoes on.
Oh, he fights barefoot. Oh, I didn't
you need
know
to
that.
See a, you need to see an MMA round, Shirley. Okay. So you'll know.
I've seen and a little fight bit in my the husband cage. Watching. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I watch it all the time. It, right now, yeah. It's much more entertaining than fighting.
I love it. Oh, really?
Because there's no fight. There's no heavyweight division.
Yeah.
The heavyweight uh-huh. division they got right now is all make-believe. Mm. That boy out of Birmingham, they'd crushed him back in the day. He couldn't whoop Norton, Holmes, nobody.
So is, I mean, is that an era? It's gone by. We don't.
It's gone by. You know, the division to watch now.
The lighter weight.
The lighter weights. That's middle where weights. The fighters
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Manuel, all them boys, man. Oh.
Pacquiao.
That whole, and even below that, the Mexican fighters, them boys is greatness, man. Mm-hmm. Canalo.
Was Ray Leonard and Mayweather, is that the same weight class?
Yeah, Walter Baker.
So that's why Sugar Ray is giving him
Sugar
advice.
Sugar Ray Leonard, man.
Ooh, Sugar Ray.
Please understand.
Man, yeah. Did you see the fight when Sugar Ray Leonard whooped Floyd Daddy Mayweather in that fight? Did you?
No.
I didn't even know that.
No.
Yeah,
Floyd uncle.
It was an uncle. It was Rod. It was Rod.
Okay.
Yeah, not man. His dad. Floyd's uncle, Roger Mayweather, the Black Mamba. That boy was nasty, man.
He was cool.
Really?
Floyd Uncle. Floyd Uncle was funky, boy. He be cussing. HBO be going,
Jesus.
And they hate.
All right, Steve, we got to go.
Y'all have a great weekend, man.
Tuesday.
Yes, y'all.
Be all right. In the
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.